family.
Good afternoon, everyone. Wow. Talk about the dog days of summer. I invite everybody who wants to just get in and stay in the air conditioning. That is just fine with me. Or in your car. Listening to me would be pretty good too, right? Woo. I think I'm pretty good in the heat, but I got to tell you, the last 2 days, it is stifling. And really, the only, I mean, just even walking down the street. I did play golf yesterday in a great charity event. And I anywhere I could try to find shade, because it was, I think I, by the end of the round, I think I said I had drank 6 bottles of water, and you felt like you could have poured it on you and it didn't make a difference. So anyhow, I hope everybody's being safe out there. Also, for people who have pets, keep an eye on them as well. It's kind of that time of the year where it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I know Eagles training camp is right around the corner, gets underway this week, Thursday. I love the Darren Sproles signing yesterday. Couldn't believe when it said he's going into his 15th NFL training camp. I think everybody would say an excellent signing by all accounts. He's 6th all-time in total yards. Just another example of the Eagles offensively loading up. And so we know he's battled injury each of the last 2 years. Very frustrating for him. But he did return towards the end of last year and then played in those 2 playoff games. And I think really for Sproles, just to be able to be healthy and to be on a team that has a chance to go to the Super Bowl, since he was not able to play in the last one that they won. So I say to you, Eagles fans, heading into camp, I am most looking forward to, so you get to finish that sentence or this sentence, I am most concerned about. And again, that's camp getting underway this week. The Phillies will be looking for their 3rd consecutive win when they take on the Pirates later tonight. The starting temperature, I'm told, at PNC Park will be 88 degrees at 7 o'clock. Zach Eflin is on the hill. Tomorrow on the hill, you will see Drew Smyly. And that's provided that he passed his physical. I didn't see anything crossed, but we do see where they say he's supposed to start tomorrow. You've seen his numbers. He opted out of his minor league contract. He had Tommy John surgery 2 years ago. Hard to gauge what is what you're going to get out of Drew Smyly. So we'll see. That's tomorrow. Today, the Phillies also picked up some bullpen help in making a deal with the Twins for Mike Morin in exchange for cash. It is a big week for them because they have these 3 games against the Pirates, then 2 games against the Tigers before coming home next Friday and having a 3-game set with the NL East leading Braves. Now you say to yourself, look, they're 7.5 behind Atlanta, but for that 2nd wild card spot where they are currently tied with the Cardinals and the Brewers being only 0.5 game behind, any chance you have to just gain some ground or stay in that hunt? And I ask you, by these like kind of moves that they made these last 2 days, is it enough for you as a fan? Are they just trying to hang around? And do you, and is that good enough for you, just hanging around to get in through the wild card? You can tell me. By the way, me personally, I have loved watching Bryce Harper. I really have. And I saw he's got the 2nd highest batting average with runners in scoring position, I believe, in Major League Baseball. It might have just been the National League, but I think I read where it was Major League Baseball. So, and he is so enthusiastic and comes with such a competitive way these last couple of games where he's come through in a big, big way. So, but we'll go back. Are they just trying to hang around, and is that good enough for you? Kyle Korver, he went in a different direction than I was hoping for, and quite frankly, than I thought he would do. Instead of returning to the Sixers, where his career began many moons ago, he opted to take a 1-year deal with the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, he does have a relationship, having played for Budenholzer in Atlanta. And the Bucks are favored to win the East. That may have factored in for him as well. Or he may have felt like his talents fit better in that system. I don't know any of the reasons, but I do know he's no longer available. And I think the one thing I go back and forth is the Sixers bench good enough? Would Korver have made that big of a difference? I like the insurance of having that kind of a shooter on the bench. I do. So we shall see. Another guy that's out of the picture too that I had mentioned was intriguing to me was Justin Holiday, not Drew, Justin. And I believe he has agreed to a deal with the Indiana Pacers. So all of this means what? I looked at the Vegas odds today for to win the NBA championship. And the top three goes the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Bucks. And then there is what they call the second tier, which the Sixers were in that second tier. But compared to what the odds have been since 2015 up until this, right, where Golden State was so much out in front of everybody else when these summertime odds were out, there are like 10 teams that have, how did they phrase it? But there's 10 teams that you can make a bet on. And by the way, what the odds of Toronto last year of winning the championship, I think it said like plus 1,400. And like there's a number of teams in that kind of range this year. So to me, I think it's totally fun. I like going into a season where all is not known. And I think a lot of this has to do with the movement of players and trying to gauge like a lot of these teams. For instance, the Lakers, we know they have LeBron and AD, but do they have enough around them? The Clippers, when they were gauging them, excellent in terms of having the Kawhi, Paul George, and some really nice pieces. But where they struggle is they don't have a true center. But do you need one in this league? With Giannis, you know, he picked up, lost Brogdon, but they picked up some nice pieces. And they seem to keep, you know, adding to that bench. I love it. They now have a Kyle Korver into their mix. So I think it's interesting that it's wide open. I love it. I also read an article, if we want to discuss Josh Richardson and how he actually is a very good shooter. Like with it, Horford will love this because Horford finds open shooters. So Josh doesn't necessarily have to come off. He's not a catch and shoot guy. Well, no, I should say this. He's a spot up guy. He's a spot up guy. And I think he will be helped by the likes of an Al Horford on the floor, a Ben Simmons on the floor. By the way, happy birthday to Ben Simmons. He's now 23 years old today. And if you want to, I thought for all the times I say, please come back with a jumper. It's his birthday. So if you want to share a Ben Simmons memory of his first 2 years in the league, like a favorite game, a favorite move, something you really liked about the guy, we can celebrate his 23rd birthday by being positive about what we've been given the first 2 years of his NBA career. And then, because everybody knows, I love golf, and I love the majors, and the 148th Open at Royal Portrush. The Saturday action was phenomenal. Phenomenal. I mean, I hope somebody out there tells me they were equally entertained today watching this golf. And by the time it was all said and done, Shane Lowry has himself a 4-stroke lead. Tommy Fleetwood is right behind him. Lowry had a 4-stroke lead previously in a major and lost to Dustin Johnson. Shot a 76 on his final day. I'm sure he was asked about that after posting a 63. And you probably have to answer more questions about something you didn't do in the past than being able to talk about that 63 that he posted today. And actually, in open history, his total for 54 holes is the lowest ever. He missed it, lowest ever in a major by one stroke. And his putt on 18 literally sat on the edge, like sat there. So anybody just, and I will say this, I would love to help me out. I don't think that there's another comparison of tomorrow. The weather for the final round is supposed to be like crazy. And so that can so impact what people can or can't do in a final round. And I can't think of something that is so, like, you could have, that's a significant lead for a guy. And by weather alone, it could go up in smoke tomorrow. Now, it could also go up in smoke because you, the nerves or something gets the better of you day to day in that sport. Like, Koepka, he could not make a putt today. He couldn't. And he found himself in a lot of trouble coming out of the sand and whatnot. And I just say, you know, day to day, even the best of them, it gets better. The fact that you wake up and you see that Tiger, Phil, and Rory didn't make the cut, you know? It's a tough sport. It's a tough sport. 610-632-0975. Let's check in with Ron in media. Ron, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, D, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. Thank God you're on the air.
You're funny.
I just got to say, I want to talk a little bit about Sixers, a little bit about the Eagles.
Okay.
I think that we have enough. One of these guys is going to step up. One of these young guys.
For the, you're starting up with the Sixers, I assume.
Yes.
Yes.
One of these young guys is going to step up. So I don't think we have to worry about that.
When you say one of these, enough. Are you talking about Ben and Joel or
someone off the like bench.
Off the bench.
Young guys.
I'm just going to tell you, when I was reading the odds, like the part of their worrisome, you know, where they give the pluses and the minuses. The minuses, they feel like neither Zaire or Matisse are ready to be able to help.
Yeah, I'm definitely. So I'm not afraid of that.
All right.
And the Eagles, are we going to commit to some running and slash some of the passing plays?
Well,
because that's how we're going to keep Carson healthy.
By running the ball and not having
a little bit more.
Running the ball a little more. Well,
we can't throw 40 to 50 times. We got to cut it down to about 30 to 35.
You would think by the acquisition of Howard and Miles Sanders, that would be the case. Obviously, having Sproles, I think of more of him as a target to throw it to him coming out of the backfield, right?
A third down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. So, but those other two, you would think. I'm going to have to find out. I think I read something from Seth Joyner where it's more about Carson not running as much, right? Being disciplined. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the play calling being not so heavily to the pass.
And he's going to have to work on getting rid of that ball faster.
Correct.
Definitely.
Or, you know, getting rid of it when you know you're in trouble. That's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes directly to him keeping himself healthy.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, okay. We'll see.
I feel good about both teams. Really, I feel really, really good about both teams.
I think you're going to have... I think you will have both teams talked about at least to start their seasons as championship contenders. And then I think, you know, as it plays out, obviously with Carson, it's every week that he's healthy is, you know, then that conversation hopefully starts to go to the wayside because it is about his health. And with the Sixers, it's going to be two conversations. One, you know, who is Ben? Who is Joel? Joel in terms of being healthy and fit. And Ben, do you have a jumper? And then the real big thing is, can they score defensively, I think everybody would agree. They're trying to be one of the top defensive teams in the league. But it's figuring out their spacing and their scoring, I think, will be a little bit of a challenge in the beginning.
Right. But, I'm always appreciate talking to you and your knowledge. And then I just have to say, I appreciate the fact that just because somebody has a difference of opinion than you, they're not stupid.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what makes the world go round, Ron. We like
some people, they don't think that like you.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Hey, stay cool.
And I'll see you at FanFest, too. I talked to you before that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Always appreciate it, Ron. Thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. Yeah. By the way, anybody wants to give suggestions of how to beat the heat? I you know what I thought of today? When I was a kid with my brother and my sister, we had one of those little blow-up pools, right? And that's like, I don't even know, how deep is that? That's like you put your feet in there, right? But if you're small enough, it can. And we used to run across, and the hose would be on too, right? So you had water in the little thing, and you could slide through it, kind of. But that was one of the ways. Or we didn't even have the little pool. We would just run through the sprinkler. And then the grass in the back would get all muddy kind of thing. I can't even believe my parents actually let us do it. But that's how we beat the heat when we were young. And Tyler was telling me that somebody was talking about fire hydrants. And I've seen people do that. I've never done that.
I'm not advocating it because I'm pretty sure it's illegal. But I'm just saying.
Yeah, I've seen it happen. And I'd be curious. I know in years past, I think the city has gone to certain places and done that by the fire department so that people could get relief from the heat. Like even my kids were visiting two of their best friends today, and they don't have air conditioning in the house, which used to be my house up until about 10 years ago. I didn't have it either. And I had just one little space. I can't even imagine being in my house right now without having air conditioning. I think it'd be stifling. I think I'd have to leave. I'd go to my parents or something. All right, let's check in with Warren in Cherry Hill. I digressed. Warren, thank you for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Afternoon, D. This is a compliment, not an insult to anybody on this station.
What's that?
I know you're a 4-for-4 gal, but when I get to talk basketball with you, just because your family history,
yes,
you're better than anything I hear on here.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
That. Yes.
We spoke before, and we're sort of on the same page. What I got to ask you are two things.
Yes.
I don't care about the rookie. I don't care about Sahir. This is an NBA Finals team based on two things. One is Ben Simmons. We already know that. And I know you're going to know the other one. To me, Brett Brown, you now have a team where you can't play the style that he prefers.
Correct.
No matter what he wants to say.
Yeah.
This is now, I never want to see him beat at the top of the key. That's Horford now, because Horford has a much better shot. So now, if Embiid does what he does, all I need is I need to believe that Brett Brown won't have guys, with 20 seconds on the shot clock, firing up threes. Certain people, certain times, fine. But this is not a run-and-gun team. And if you want to keep Embiid healthy, all they talk about is limiting his games. You want to keep him healthy, don't make him run up and down the court like a lunatic, like a guard does.
Well, the only thing I will say about that, Warren, is I thought one of the things when he's in shape, he can get up and down the floor.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but the problem is when he sits out or has these nagging things, I hate watching him run from three-point line to three-point line.
I agree with you, Dave, but here, forgetting everything else, we already know his history. If we didn't think he was going to, if we thought he's going to have a 10-more-year career, we wouldn't worry about games. I want him when he's in shape. When I watch the games, give you a perfect example. It's not like that guy in Toronto. What's his name, the center? Gasol.
Mark Gasol, yeah.
Gasol's stronger. He just got to the spot first. It's hard to move a three-tackle, a 275-man. I'm not saying he should run. He's an athlete.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care if he's running up the court to get to the spot first. I just don't need to see him on the break lose. I just want to take care of him.
Yeah, no, so, I agree. And I would say this. As much as they like to play, pace and space, I would say that there has to be X amount of time that you are waiting to get him the ball in the low post. It has to happen. And there needs to be discipline on both sides. Brett Brown to tell him it's a must, and Embiid to realize that I don't know the right percentage, but
no,
it's not.
As much as I, I'd never say Brett doesn't know basketball. I just a lot of times think he does. It's almost like with Andy Reid, I used to say, you got to make your system fit your players. You just can't tell me this is how you're going to play. We have even less of a shooting team than we did last year. We have length, we have size, and we have athletes. To me, you get your if B gets down the court and gets in his position first, nobody's moving him. If Ben's willing to take a 15-foot shot with the athletes we have, we're going to the finals. As I said, it's Ben's shot and Brett's knowledge. That's what we need this year.
All right, Warren. Warren, how are you staying cool these days, can I ask?
To be honest with you, I'm on my way home from work. I'm in an air-conditioned car, and if the 20 yards were air-conditioned, I'd be there too, but I ain't moving. I'm sitting in the house, Dave, watching some ball and enjoying it.
Exactly. I like it, Warren. All right, we'll talk again soon. Thanks so much.
How's it going?
I appreciate it. Thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. It is true. So I said I was going to share with you something about Josh Richardson and where his shots can come from, and it was very enlightening. Give me a second, but because no two people are the exact same, right? So you lose a J.J. Redick and a Jimmy Butler, and you get a Josh Richardson. You don't get the same kind of guy. He's got a little bit of both or a little bit of his own. He's definitely a two-way guy, but he will defend. That he can do. I was shocked to learn that his wingspan is the lowest or smallest of anybody in their starting five, and that's at 6'10", which I think is, and, you know, that's why people say this team has length and they should be able to do a lot of damage with their defense. Now, I will say when he was with Miami, he gambled a little bit on the perimeter. He did not have a rim protector the same as he will in either an Embiid and a Horford. Because Hassan Whiteside, like, I don't think of him like that. Even though I went and looked, he averaged 2.9 blocks per game last year. But it's different. It was different. And so as a unit, and I hope they stay true to, like, you do still have to keep people in front of you. Just because you have the length to be in a passing lane does not mean you have to gamble every time. So anyhow, I'm going to pull up the numbers of where he got his three-point shots and what percentage of them was his highest in terms of his spacing on the floor. 610-632-0975. D-Line, I'm with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. The countdown to kickoff is on. Birds training camp starts Thursday, July 25th, and 97.5 The Fanatic is getting you ready for football. Join Anthony Gargano and Jason Martinez with special guest Super Bowl champion Brent Celek and Birds insider Tim McManus for a pre-training camp football roundtable live from Riley's Pub at Valley Brook Country Club. The event starts at 10 a.m. this Tuesday, July 23rd. On Philadelphia's football station, 97.5, The Fanatic.
Look, it's a super selection, backed by super service, saving you thousands with super low prices. Their spidey senses will be tingling. It's Gateway Zone, Zero Down Superhero.
New 2019 Kia Sportage, $189 a month. New 2019 Kia Forte, $169 a month. And save like a hero on a new 2019 Kia Soul, only $159 a month. All on a 36-month lease with zero due at signing. Or get up to $6,000 over book for your trade. Or Gateway Kia will match your down payment up to $6,000. Need help with credit? We'll do everything in our power to get you approved. Get a hero's welcome and a super deal at Gateway Kia.
Route 611 in Warrington and Route 309 in Quakertown. Online at shopgatewaykia.com.
Gateway Kia, the discount Kia Giants.
Prices based on dealer posted price, 10,000 miles a year, zero security deposit, tax, title, tax, DMV fees are additional. Trades based on gals values. Offers cannot be combined. Leases are with tier 1 credit approval only. Zero to its signing. Must take delivery on 7/31/2019.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-333-1750. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you, even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-333-1750. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-333-1750. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-333-1750.
800-333-1750. Hey! 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 So, it's a very hot Saturday, July 20th. D-Line, I'm with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic, leading you up to the Soul, who will play the Albany Empire on the road. And it appears this is their last regular season game. That flew by. Jeez. Anyhow, I'm with you until that game begins at 7 o'clock. We check in right now with Stan in Broomall. Stan, thanks for the patience, and thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's going on, D?
How are you?
I'm good. Listen, I think a lot of people, again, are J.J. Redick and having shooters around. Obviously, Kyle Korver signing to the Bucks is kind of a, you know, kind of a blow to us. So I hope that Elton still has something up his sleeve. But I it's kind of a hurt piece. Now I read somewhere that the whole Budenholzer thing is what played a major part.
Yeah, it did.
Obviously,
it did.
He was the coach in Atlanta, but you were still hoping that maybe, you know, just because he started here, maybe he would want to retire here. But whatever, that's neither here nor there.
Yep.
I look at the team and I say to myself, Josh Richardson, who I believe shot about, 37% from three this year or something like that?
Yep.
And that was with limited spacing because Hassan Whiteside and Justice Winslow, like, credit to them. Those guys are, you know, pretty good players. But playing with Embiid and Ben Simmons, you know, the floor is going to be even wider for him. So you got to expect that he's going to get even better looks than he did. So shooting 37% with limited spacing, I'm not saying he's going to become Klay Thompson, but I can see him shooting even better than what he did before. And if I had to guess, I know you're about to pull up the numbers, but he probably shot a lot of his threes off a pick and roll and things like that. Maybe.
That was the part that was surprising. So because most of them were catch and shoot.
Catch and shoot.
Yes, and that
like Rocco.
So what's interesting about that is the person who wrote this article was, you know, so he won't be going into a meeting saying he needs more pick and roll, which he obviously was taking a little shot at Jimmy.
That's crazy.
And
I had no idea.
Because that is the case, if and when Ben goes to the bench, knowing, you know, that Al Horford's a pretty good passer, right?
Oh, yeah. I would have to say one of the better ones.
Yeah, right. No, totally. With his 3 years with the Celtics, he was almost up to 5 assists per game. It was a shade under. I think it was 4.7.
But
you can make him be the creator offensively and find Richardson in those catch and shoot situations.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the thing. That's why, you know, I'm looking at a lot of people. Listen, I don't know if it's because, you know, I'm a homer, whatever you want to call it, but there's really, besides the Bucks, there is no reason why the Sixers shouldn't be looked at as being the best team in the East and potentially be going to the finals this year, because you look at that team and the way they're built and the way they're constructed. Defensively, I really think they're going to be a nightmare. And then even offensively, I just think having an IQ guy like Al Horford, who makes very smart decisions, who's only going to get easier baskets for guys like Tobias Harris, for Embiid, for Ben, for Josh. Like, people are kind of underestimate the value that he may have because he's not a 20-13 guy.
Sure.
But he can have 13. He'll have a game where he'll have 13, 9, and 6. You know, with two blocks and a steal. And a key block at the end of the game, or a key basket at the end of the game. And I think people kind of downplay that, and they don't really understand the actual value and impact that he could have on this team.
Yeah, and I think I'm with you that his scoring, I don't need the scoring as much as as I need his.
Just the IQ. The IQ is so important.
And I need him to be able to make a three occasionally, to be able to keep them honest in terms of the space.
Oh, you know you will. And the thing about it is Al Horford's the type of guy that he can go 0-for-5 during the game, but he'll hit that backbreaker 3 with a minute to go. I mean, we've seen it how many times, you know, playing against him. Or even in the playoffs last year when he had that pin down on Robert Covington, and he got the game-winning layup.
Oh,
I think that was like game 4.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago.
Game 3, excuse me, game 3, yeah. you know, we got the turnover and then they pass it in and over Robert Covington.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the type of plays that Al Horford makes. And if you look at the stat line, that wasn't like his 30th point. That might have been his 15th.
Yeah.
And that's what you, I don't need a guy who come in and drop 30 when I got Embiid, Harris, and Simmons.
By the
and
way, that was a terrible switch. That left Embiid out on the perimeter.
It was. And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Just things like that in general. So
yeah, I hear you. Stan, how are you staying cool in this weather?
Today wasn't actually a group. It was okay because today is actually my daughter's birthday party. So we went to Chuck E. Cheese. So we were indoors. So that was cool.
Good. Yeah.
But I got to tell you, I stepped out to take all the gifts home.
It's stifling, isn't it?
I almost died before I even got to my car. So I'm actually about to just go home, change, and go actually play ball at the Y.
Forget about it.
No.
Indoors.
That's suicide.
All right,
yeah, indoors.
Come on, I don't need to be worried people are dropping on the hardwoods of the Philly courts. Come on.
All right,
Stan,
dude, thanks.
Have a good one. Thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it here on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Al Horford IQ, that's a big part of that, which is kind of why I wanted Kyle so bad, because I think situationally, having guys who have been there, done that, matter. And I think there are things that they can play into their strengths like that. That's not to say that I'm not going to, you know, want to see how this all plays out when in terms of having different personnel than you had for the last 2 years. Well, no, JJ 2 years, Jimmy for most of last year, because that deal went down in November. So it will be interesting, and we shall see. It's the same as I'm interested in the Eagles. Now, it was funny. I was listening to one of Tyrone's callers and saying, you know, you just want to get through. And I think this is true. When you have a team like the Eagles do, that will be, you know, considered Super Bowl contenders, absolutely. Training camp, to me, I was so with this caller that not getting hurt matters so much, so much. And so, you know, you have new guys and you want to make sure you're getting acclimated. But the flip side, and you want people to be in shape for when the real deal starts, but it's like managing that time. Of, you know, they have a lot of experience and they have a lot of weapons and you want to be using them properly, but it is that fine line, right? You don't want to hear about the nicks and bruises or, you know, hamstring pulls, or it's just, you just want to get through the training camp. That's how I feel. Now, I mean, I'll be interested in reading about guys and how they feel and what they think of this year's team and how Carson looks and if he's connecting with Deshaun. You know, it's all on paper. But more than anything, it's getting to that first game of the regular season. The other thing, I've never been a proponent of preseason football. And each week, right, by the time you get to the fourth game, forget about it. And, you know, one series from your starters and then, you know, a half from your starters. I don't know. It just, and that's another hold your breath and make sure nobody gets hurt. I understand it's a necessity. I'm not a fan of that. Really think about it. I'm not a fan of the basketball preseason either. It's just the product is not, it's not the same as what you expect when the real deal rolls around. When Thursday rolls around for the Eagles, I'm sure it'll be exciting. The open practices at the link, those will be exciting for the fans. I personally do actually miss the Lehigh days. I enjoyed going up there and covering, you know what it was? Because, first of all, there were people always around, and a lot of them made it their like family, you know, whether it was a couple day vacation. Players walking off would sign autographs. It was very casual. A kid could, you know, go up and shake somebody's hand. And even as a reporter, it was like, you know, somebody was walking off, you'd stop them and say, you know, whether it was Brian Westbrook or even further back, Deuce, you know, say, hey, Deuce, you got a minute? And you could just talk. And the way it's done now, it's a little more removed from the fans, a little more removed from the media, too. It's a lot more controlled by the organization. So for me, I kind of liked it. I liked the intimacy of when it took place at Lehigh. But I understand why teams have all moved it to their own facilities. One, they have everything they possibly need for their players and themselves. And then, you know, the way they figure it, by providing those couple of practices for the fans at your arena that you have, you're serving them as well. I say it's just not in the same way. That's just me. But change happens. We see it all the time. And that's actually how I started today's show, talking about change, whether, you know, the another change for the Eagles was the addition of Darren Sproles. That happened yesterday. Two added pitchers, one for the bullpen, one for the starting rotation. We'll see. Drew Smyly, he is going to pitch on Sunday. I don't know what he has left in him. He had surgery. He basically didn't play for 2 years. Had Tommy John surgery in 2017. And his ERA in the beginning of the year, I'll have to go. He was 1-5, that I remember. It was 8.47, I believe, in 13 games with Texas before he then played in the minor leagues. And then he opted himself out of that minor league contract. But anyhow, change again for the Phillies. And is it enough change? It, to me, these are small moves. Do they have a big move left in them? My feeling is I don't feel it, but I guess they could surprise. And then the change I wasn't anticipating for the Sixers was not getting Kyle Korver. When I saw that Kyle Korver signed, I assumed it was going to say with the Sixers for a one-year deal. And quite frankly, I was a little disappointed. So change. Do you like any of those? Do you not like any of those? And in terms of the Sixers without the Korver, and little by little, guys are coming off that, you know, still out there list. I had two come off, Kyle and Justin Holiday. So now I got to rework it and see if I like anything else that's out there. 610-632-0975. D-Line, I'm with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Saturday late afternoon here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kind of that time of the summer where the Phillies are playing, kind of hanging around that wild card spot, that second wild card spot, really the first one too. They're only a game behind the Nationals. And then they're tied with the St. Louis Cardinals. And then the Brewers are a half game behind them. So they have that on their mind as Zach Eflin and company take on the Pirates, looking for a third consecutive win later on tonight. The anticipation of the Eagles training camp remains. And I'm a golf fan. So for me, this weekend has been all about watching. I got up at 1:30 on Thursday. Well, really, I just took a nap to watch. And tomorrow at 2:30 in the morning, I am going to watch. I really want to see, one, what the weather is like, and two, what some of these guys do in that weather. And then later on in that morning, I guess it'll be closer to like 10 my time. No, it can't be that late. 6. That'll be around when Shane Lowry will tee off, and we'll see what he does with his 4-stroke lead. All right, but training camp is happening. Ray wants to talk about the Eagles, so let's check in with Ray in Sicklerville. Ray, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
My DL.
That's right. I gotta get that song back.
Yeah, definitely.
I know.
Keep it. I can't wait to see you at Fan Fest, too.
Yes, I will definitely be there.
But yeah, I gotta say, this upcoming season, for the next literally 7 to 8 months, is nothing but Eagles football, and then you have the Sixers basketball.
Yep, that's true.
It has never ever been like this as I can remember. Like,
meaning where there are championship aspirations for both of those?
For both, yes.
Yeah.
For both.
Yep.
It's so much opportunity out there. It's just right now. It's ours for the taking. Just got to go out there and do what we got to do.
I do think it's interesting that in both cases, like I hear people talk, you know, the Eagles are the best in the NFC. Right, but I think there is competition out there.
Oh, it definitely is.
Yeah, and it
definitely is.
And the same is said about the Sixers in the East. And I'm like, all right, well, first of all, Vegas says Milwaukee's better. And two, they would put the odds of Boston and Indiana. Now, until you see any of this on paper, because so many of these rosters are so different, I think it's fascinating that it's so wide open.
Yeah, it is wide open, but everything looks good on paper.
Yes.
But it's what you're doing the hard with.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what matters.
Yep,
And on the gridiron still.
Yes.
And I got one more thing to say before I get off the phone with you.
Yeah, that's
fine. When you spoke about Lehigh.
Yes.
The last time I was there was 2005. Me and a couple of fellas I work with, we made an event, went out there for the weekend.
Exactly.
It was lovely.
Wasn't it? It was an intimate setting.
Yes.
Fans could take it in. It was cool. I could take it in. I stood on the sideline and watched everything.
When you spoke on it, I got goosebumps. I was like, oh, I remember doing that.
Yeah, that was fun. I have to go back and look at what was the last time they were at Lehigh. I don't know the year that they stopped.
Yeah, dude, that's a good question.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to look that one.
I will. But I'm glad you called in, and I have somebody who remembers it. Otherwise, I was feeling like the old head.
And I got one more thing to say.
All right, Ray, are you still there? Or are you done?
Oh no, I'm still here.
Oh, all right. I hear your radio, so that's
good. Oh, sorry, I turned it down.
No problem.
Because I'm driving right now. I'm just getting done work. It was a scorch of the day.
Oh my God! Please get an air conditioning.
No, I'm in air conditioning right now in the truck. I literally had my last job.
Oh, nice.
Somebody's sprinklers came on. I was sitting there sprinkling for like 5 or 10 minutes.
I don't blame you. I was saying we used to run through this sprinkler in the backyard.
Oh, that's beautiful.
On days like this. All right, I'll talk to you again, but I'll see you at FanFest.
Definitely, Dave. You have a good day.
All right, you do the same, Ray. Thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. Tyler, see if you can help me out and see if you can find when Lehigh had the last Eagles training camp. If it's 10 years, I'm really going to be beside myself that much time has passed. But Ray went in 2003, so it might be that long ago. All right, let's check in with Wes in Doylestown. Wes, thank you for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's my pleasure, D. As I was waiting to talk with you today, I was thinking to myself, we probably grew up in the same era, although I might have a couple years on you, but a feeling is starting to overcome me. Like, we've got a taste of some great championship with the Eagles, and we had our Phillies 10 years ago, 11 years ago. But I feel like you and I might grow old together, and we're going to reminisce on Saturdays, I mean, and then we're going to reminisce someday about this time when Joel and Ben decided to become
champions,
committed and mature and lead us to the promised land. You know, when I was a kid, it was We Owe You One, right, with Doc?
Sure.
And then the pieces came together and the commitment was there, and it was some shuffling, but the journey was great, and I think it's going to happen. I'm really coming around.
I'm curious, Wes, back on the one when We Owe You One, or I assume that's when they got Moses, right?
Well, I thought Doc said We Owe You One after.
Oh yeah, after the year before, because they lost. Yeah. You're right. That's exactly what happened.
Because then they owed us two.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I didn't live in the area. I actually lived on the West Coast back then. But so I didn't get to experience it. But I'm curious. Do you think they were the favored team to come out of the East? It's probably was them or Boston, right?
You know, neck and neck, yeah. I mean, Boston, as I recall, the Sixers were never, they were never clear favorites until Moses got to town when we pulled off the faux.
Yeah, I would say that as next year goes, because Milwaukee's going in as the favorite, and that's fine. That's understandable because they were a top five defensive team and a top five offensive team last year. Now they have some change on the roster, the biggest loss being Brogdon, but I think they've filled some nice pieces as well, and they'll bring back Middleton, and they'll bring back Lopez along with Giannis, so I get it. that
you know better than me.
Favored.
You see, a question about our roster and our team and our style. I hope Zaire is a contributor. I like what I've seen. What kind of style are we going to play? Is there going to be a change? Is this offense going to be tweaked without JJ?
I mean, we'll see. I think it has to if you're going to play to the strengths of the guys that you have. I think the biggest thing, and I always try to look nationally as well, what other people think of everybody's new changes, right? But the biggest one that the Sixers face is where is their spacing going to come from? Because JJ was their spacing. Butler, you know, liked to develop his stuff through pick and roll. Get it. JJ's was dribble handoff. I don't think Josh is a dribble handoff guy. I had a number where a good percentage of his threes with Miami were catch and shoot, which I think as long as you play to that strength, you can get him the ball where he wants it.
Yes.
You just do it differently.
I'd like to see, an improved relationship when Ben's in the backcourt. I want to see him and Tom, the other guy's name, geez.
Tobias?
Yeah, Tobias.
No,
I want to see him and I want to see him and Tobias develop something where Tobias can get that shot and rhythm instead of forcing it, trying to break guys down.
Yeah, I hope. But again, offensively, I am going to be interested in seeing it develop because I think it's got to be done differently than what you had, last year.
Good.
All right, West, do you have any Eagles point?
I was going to say something about the Eagles. I used to go see them at Westchester, and that was
so funny.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah,
but as far as the season goes, I think it's there's a lot of promise, and the division is definitely weak.
Yes,
Dallas will be tough, of course.
One out of Dallas, split
there, split some of those bigger games home and away. They really should have no problem taking the division, in my view, and it's going to be a different season because you're not going to be traveling in the playoffs the way we did last year. And Minnesota doesn't have the quarterback the Eagles have.
No.
He's overrated.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Wes.
There it is.
Stay cool.
Thank you, D.
All right. We'll talk again soon. Thank you for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. Jim, hold tight. You're up next on the other side here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Quick question for you. Are you ready to party?
Oh, yeah. 97.5, The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, a Beasley Media Group station.
Welcome to The Fanatic Family.
This weekend's programming is brought to you by TurnersvilleJeep.com. During the summer of Jeep sales event, save up to 25% off MSRP and choose from over 800 new Wranglers, Cherokees, Grand Cherokees, Compass Renegades, and the all-new Gladiator. Online at TurnersvilleJeep.com. D-Line, I'm with you here on this Saturday evening. And I was just actually, I was saying to myself, I want to see Joel Embiid. And then I remembered, he's coming up. He's going to go to Basketball Without Borders. One of the things I love about this, here is a guy who as a kid got to participate in Basketball Without Borders. And now here he is with a max contract in the NBA. And he's going to go back and be one of the coaches. What I did not know, so it'll take place at the end of July. I forget, it's not in Cameroon. I know the Senegal. Senegal is where it is. But in addition, so there'll be some really good players along with him, Malcolm Brogdon, Chris Bosh, Ed Davis, and then coaches like Doc Rivers, David Fizdale, but general manager Elton Brand is going to be on this trip. So I like this because he'll get to spend some time with his crown jewel, as we like to call Joel Embiid. And maybe we can get a little bit of a report about how Joel is doing, looking, and all those good things towards the end of this month. But 610-632-0975. I said you were up next, Jim. And in fact, you are. Thank you for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, D, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm pretty good. I just flicking around a challenge while you guys were on break.
Yeah, right.
Commercial break. The Haskell Invitational was on. I've heard of that before. I watch, you know, racing a little bit. I watch the big three like most people.
I saw the same thing.
Yeah, but I grew up riding horses, D. My father was a mounted police officer in Philadelphia, so he grew me and my brothers up riding horses.
Wow.
Yeah, so I love horses. But the guy, just the idiotic thing people say, the guy who's in charge, they ran two races and they decided after the first two it was too hot.
Yeah.
So now the big races are going to go to like 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. I already read it online. Yeah.
Yeah, so that makes sense. But he tried to say this, though. He says, yeah, you know, we got an exact science of a number that where, you know, where that number goes, we'll decide. So he says, what was he going to say? The heat, the humidity, and the wind, right? Well, yeah, okay. I think we all know that. That's how we decide how hot it is outside. And he's trying to say that that number was way below what they accept. And I think, how could it be way below? And then you run two races and it stops. It's just, it didn't make any sense.
No.
He just said that they're close to the ocean and they have a wind breeze on the track side. Mm-hmm. But over here, he's standing by the paddock. And he's saying the paddock, though, is really hot. Oh, so you're going to take him out of the steamy hot paddock, go run him in a race, and then bring him back.
Yeah, right. You can't do that.
Jesus. Oh. Makes no sense.
Well, I'm glad they did the right thing eventually.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
It's
a brutal sport for them animals. I know you've seen the bad side of that. I think everybody has by now. There's been so many stories about it.
Yes,
now.
I know.
Yeah. Let's go to brighter things. I don't think you're old enough, but back in, I was thinking when everybody was talking about that we got two teams going well now with the Sixers and the Eagles.
Yep.
Back in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, I'm sure you well know, we were spoiled with all four teams.
All four teams,
the Flyers were good, too. Yeah, they were. The Flyers were good.
Well, they won
in 80, right?
79.
Yeah. Was that the last time they went?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember we were going for hat trick in 76, and we lost.
Right.
So we won in 74, 75.
And obviously, you had the Phillies in 81.
Right.
The Sixers in 83.
Yeah, which the classic, what's the name, Diaz? I know you well know. One of the most classy things I've ever seen was Boston. You know what that is,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Beat L.A.
LA.
Absolutely.
I was a kid then. I was maybe 20 years old. That choked me up. I was shocked they did that because we used to battle with Boston and New York people down in the Spectrum. Whenever they visited, they were the guys, when they visited, you know, we not just they battled. It wasn't like we fought with them, but that's the guys we argued with, and, you know, back and forth with. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, good old days.
Though some will say the Flyers may not be as far away as people think.
I hope not.
Right. And the Phillies, obviously, they, to me, are obviously away.
Yeah.
They haven't addressed their pitching problems enough. I mean, I can tell you they go and get a guy, Drew Smyly, and everybody looks at the numbers and what he's been through the last two seasons.
Yeah.
And you say, well, that's not really going to help.
Well, the Flyers made big changes, though, too, Dean. Hopefully they all work out. But I did have a big problem with this hierarchy recently, not bringing these kids up. If you're doing great in the minors, the next step up is in the NHL, and you're dominating down there. So what else do you have to prove? Do you have to do it for a year? Bring them the heck up and see what they can do.
Yeah.
I hate that attitude that you can ruin them if you bring them up and they're not ready. That's not true. If they can come up and they don't do well, then they go back down. And guess what, D? If they never come back up, then they were never meant to be. And I mean, I'm not the only person that had that opinion. A lot of people have that opinion.
Let me ask you a
question. I don't agree with that stuff.
No, but I'm just going to say, I feel like in the sport of baseball, the up and down is far more accepted than in hockey.
Totally agree,
They want you to, when they bring them up, they want them to stay. No, that's whether that's just the culture of the sport, I don't know.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. That's totally true.
Yeah.
See, that's great insight there. Baseball definitely handles it different. Yeah,
they do. All right, do you have a thought on the Sixers? And did you?
I want you to help me out. Did you find out? Remember what we talked about? Is the kid left-handed or right-handed?
Who, Ben?
Did the father make him left-handed?
No.
To make him more dominant.
No, he's left-handed.
He is left-handed.
He's left-handed. Okay. Yep.
All right.
We got to the bottom of that.
Yes.
All right, Jim. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Yeah, you too, D.
I appreciate it. Thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. Yes, it's so true. But I'm just going to point to something Jim pointed at when he's asking, because he doesn't feel like Ben is a dominant left-hander. And then there was a picture that literally looked like, and it was on Ben's Instagram. Obviously, somebody took it for him because he was shooting the basketball, but it looked like a two-hand, he's in the air, though, so it's not a set shot from where his feet are. He is in the air falling backwards, but there's like, the guide hand is below. The other hand's below. It's terrible. It really, from a form standpoint, has you concerned, I would say. All right, let's check in with Linda in Mayfair. Good afternoon, Linda.
Miss Lynam, you know I moved, darling.
Oh, you did move.
I know. Oh, I am in Bella, and guess what, Denise?
What?
If you came to visit me and walked out the front door,
yes.
If you turned slightly to your right,
yes.
You could hear four from the Bella country. D, it's hysterical.
That's too funny. Well,
I was walking by, and I said, four to four ladies. They were hysterical. They laughed so hard, Denise. Well, if you ever retired here, you'd never sleep.
What a riot. I hope they appreciated your knowledge knowing to yell for.
Oh, it's hysterical. I didn't go on the property because we respect it. We don't, you know.
Yes.
But it runs the same way. I mean, there's no gate or nothing. If you didn't know where it was the property, you wouldn't, because they don't say nothing
sure.
to you because it's a mistake.
Sure.
But I wouldn't do it. I mean, I got 13 other acres to roam.
Yeah, there you
but,
go.
But I didn't turn my radio off since I moved in because I didn't know when you were on.
Yes.
So I had 35 bags. I'm down to three, so I didn't do bad. But you know, it's funny, Denise. I'm listening to everybody, and I'm not making fun of nobody. I don't want you to think that.
Okay.
And because I'm trying to be positive, but the callers, all they think about is how disappointed they're going to be if the Eagles don't go to the Super Bowl. And the Sixers don't go to the finals. And I'm thinking, geez, we don't even know the final makeup of the teams yet.
Well, you know? Pretty much. The Eagles, I mean, yes, they added Darren Sproles yesterday, but their roster is pretty well set for Thursday's opening of training camp. And with the Eagles, by and large, they have healthy people, which is nice to know going in. And the other thing with the Sixers, their roster is pretty much set as well. I thought maybe they would add a Kyle Korver. That did not happen. They could still add a player or two if they so choose. But I would say, by and large, what they have is what they're going to have for next year's schedule.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't speak too plainly. What I meant to say is, you know, like you said, these preseason games always have some kind of a weird injury. A guy twists his ankle.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Or it gets a caught somewhere underneath some guy. And I think injuries are important to any kind of sport. And I just pray that everyone is healthy. But I'm really looking forward to it, Denise. It's going to be so fun.
It is. Now, how about your Phillies? Are you,
Oh, yes, my poor babies. God bless their little hearts. I haven't been able to pay much attention because I was trying to stay up all night and unpack.
Yep, yep.
Oh, my gosh, what a pain in the foot. But I do get excited when I hear Brycey comes to bat. I don't do
yep,
nothing.
Absolutely. I have enjoyed watching him. And I like that. I think we should focus on some of the really good things he's done. And to have the second best batting average with runners in scoring position is a worthy stat to share.
Yeah, and I was just so excited, Denise. I mean, to tell you the truth, with everything wonderful that's happening to me, I think I retired and went to heaven. But don't tell anybody.
I will.
Because I don't want them to think that I'm with the hoi polloi now.
All right.
Take care, Denise.
Thank you, Linda. I appreciate the call always. Thanks for checking in at 97.5 The Fanatic, and I hope you enjoy your new digs, as they say. We'll have to start putting Linda from Bala on there, not Linda from Mayfair anymore. But, of course, it's how I've come to know her, so I just assumed still Mayfair. 610-632-0975. So the Phillies and the Pirates will play game number two of their three-game set this weekend at PNC Park. I think I said earlier the temperature when the game begins is said to be at 88 degrees. And I know I heard coming in here that a emergency, I don't know if they call it this, I'm paraphrasing, but like a emergency heat warning is in effect through 10 o'clock tomorrow night of all this area. So these are dangerous temperatures. And everybody just needs to take care. And as that one caller said, and I have it on in the background here, I can understand why they are blowing like cold water, cold mist for the horses there at the Haskell Invitational. And they've pushed that race back to 8 o'clock tonight. But you think of the many things that, you know, go into consideration when you have these drastic heats and what it affects. So, and the other thing I was thinking of was, how do you beat the heat? Now, air conditioning is one option. Jumping in a pool is another option. Running through a sprinkler, if you have one in the backyard, that's always a good one, right? So I would say a lot of people just want to lay on their couch and stay out of the outdoors, because when you walk out your door, it is just so stifling. It'll be like these temperatures. That's part of why the Lehigh stuff probably ended in 2012, by the way, was the last time the Eagles had their training camp at Lehigh. So 7 years ago, that is a long time. But it is true. That's how the whole pickle juice came about, because of heat, you know, and that's how you beat the heat when you were football guys, because you would have the pickle juice. But now you can control more by being able to go indoors when you have these extreme heat situations. So when training camp rolls around for the Eagles this Thursday, I don't know, what exactly will you be looking for in those first couple of days? What do you need to hear from people? Who do you want telling you that they feel great? Or, you know, I think there's a lot of optimism surrounding this group and Carson in particular. And if you think about it, it's really an off season, because Carson, while he ended last year injured, he really had the whole, he was available and healthy for all the OTAs, and he comes into camp healthy by all accounts. So I think that's very different than him going into last year knowing he was probably missing the beginning of the year. I don't remember when we actually got that word. So that is different. Their depth is different. They have definitely given Carson plenty of offensive weapons to go to. And so now, like, people want us to see it. But it'll be a little while. You know, you got to go through the camp, through the preseason to get to that regular season. And with the Sixers, who also have championship aspirations, if not expectations, same thing. It's all there on paper. It's good health. There is good pieces. I was going to say depth. I'm not absolutely sold on their depth. I guess I'm sold on if they do their rotations properly and keep two of that starting five on the court at all times, then I'm okay with their depth of having a Mike Scott who can make a shot, a three-point shot, an Ennis, a Raul Neto slash Shake backup point, and Kyle O'Quinn as your third center. And he's a big guy. I like that they came with something different. I loved Amir Johnson as a guy, but it was time to move on from that. Because if you couldn't use him in the postseason last year and you didn't feel like he was going to help your team, then you had to do something differently. And investing in backing up a Joel Embiid should be a number one priority for this team. Not because you want to expect injury, but because you need to be able to figure out how to manage him minutes-wise, games-wise, so that a healthier Embiid is in the postseason. And so I think that is where they invested most, because you have an Al Horford and a Kyle O'Quinn behind a Joel Embiid, knowing that you anticipate playing an Embiid, you know, 33 minutes a game, and hopefully he misses maybe 20 games for the year, 20 to 22. So those were that was your greatest investment. And I now like can't wait to see in both cases for the Eagles and the Sixers to get underway, because it is, you know, the first time when the Eagles won the Super Bowl a couple years ago. I'm trying to remember what the going into that season felt like. I'm going to have to remind myself and like go back and look at an article of training camp that year. You know, and then Carson has a great start to that season. But so much of that was attached to how it unraveled as the year went on, not the expectations going in. I don't believe, maybe I'm misremembering, as they once was said. But it'll be interesting. And I wonder if it stays exciting enough in these summer months, because you really just want to see the product in both cases. Like, is there anybody you really want to know how they look in training camp for the Eagles this week? Maybe Miles Sanders, right? Because he's a young guy. But of your veteran guys, like, maybe you want to know, and we saw some of it in the OTAs, what the chemistry slash connection between Carson and Deshaun is. Maybe you want to see that. Maybe Jordan Howard, how he's going to be used. Maybe, but do you really get to see that in training camp?
It's like you said, there will be a couple storylines, but the main one will be, let's just get to the regular season with the whole team intact.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. And it's going to be the same with the Sixers. So for all the fun I had with like NBA free agency and the changing rosters across the landscape of the NBA, now it's like, can't we just get to where we get to see these teams play? But that's part of it. That's why they call them the dog days of summer, right? Isn't that why we call it that? I did have that number. So the Warriors were the odds-on favorites to win it since, well, last year, I can just tell you. Let's just go. They were minus 200 and the lone squad with odds that were better than plus 500. This season, three teams check that box. Heading into last season, there were six teams whose championship odds were listed at plus 2,000 or better. This year, there are 10 of those teams. So to me, what I like, and for so long, people would say, you know, ugh, there's no parity in the NBA. That's one of the things they love about the NFL. There's greater parity. People can come out of nowhere by player movement, quite frankly. And so now, just those odds alone say to me, it's possible. And the Raptors were that team who won it all, and they were a plus 1,400 last year. So I think it's an exciting time in the NBA, and I like it. Because even the ones that have the best odds have question marks. Question marks. And by the way, the Golden State Warriors are in that group of 10 because they bet on Klay coming back some point, midpoint, and that those guys, having been there, done that, make them valuable. 610-632-0975. Your expectations or your questions that you will want answered during Eagles training camp, or do you have none and you're just like me and saying, let's just get to the regular season? And also, the acquisitions that have or have not happened for your teams this week. Sproles with the Eagles, Smiley and Mike Marin with the Phillies, and then no Kyle Korver for the Sixers. How you feel about any or all of those? 610-632-0975. D-Line, I'm with you here on 97.5. The join Anthony Gargano and Jason Martinez with special guest Super Bowl champion Brent Celek and Birds insider Tim McManus for a pre-training camp football roundtable live from Riley's Pub at Valley Brook Country Club this coming Tuesday, beginning at 10 a.m. So that is at Tuesday. Thursday camp itself will begin. So a good way to get yourself in camp mode. It's funny, I was going back. I guess you can look day to day if the odds change on who will win the Super Bowl this coming year. So back, these were from February. So I guess it's right after the Super Bowl. The Chiefs and the Patriots were 6-1. The Rams and the Saints were 8-1. The Colts 12-1, and then Packers and Eagles 14-1. So basically, I think, would anybody else say that the Rams and the Saints, you know, it's not in your division that people will be concerned, though the one caller said, obviously, the Cowboys, it feels like, are always, you know, battles. I think half the reason is because the two cities love to battle each other in addition to the actual games. But, yeah. But I think as the Eagles play out, and look, health, as we say, it matters always. But to go into a season healthy with plenty of weapons, as they appear to be doing, you certainly have to like their chances. And I would say, like last year, remember how at the beginning of that year, and it, well, one, Carson wasn't playing, you know, that it wasn't going as expected or wanted following a Super Bowl championship because you want to repeat. And, but then to have the, you know, rally at the end of the year and go in and win the, well, they won the first game, right? Yeah, they won in Chicago and then lost. But to like get momentum at the end. Now I think you go in with parts of this roster the same, but adding pieces that look like they are valuable and add depth. That's what I would say. Me personally, one of the things I'm looking forward to seeing, and I think a year makes a big difference, is we know the year that Zach Ertz had, but the development of Dallas Goedert and using the two of them more. I'll be interested to see if that happens. And so that's one interesting thing. We talk about, will they run the ball more? I mean, I don't think you're going to see the style of what Doug Peterson and company like to play change drastically. But knowing that you have Jordan Howard there, I think you're interested in seeing how he's used. Knowing that you have a DeSean Jackson, you're interested in how he affects, you know, and stretches the field. I think all of that adds up. So, with camp opening up, I ask you, what do you see? What do you expect? And are you a person that will pay attention day to day of the, you know, the news items of training camp? Do, or are you like, you know, just, as long as nobody gets hurt, just get me to week one of the NFL season? Then when it comes to the Phillies, as the July 31st trade deadline happens, and as people say, will they be buyers, will they be sellers, or will they stand pat? I think we've seen what they're buying, and it's not anything that's going to really make things change drastically, right? You have a Smiley. You have a Marin. I did read where Robertson is going to assimilate a game, I believe, coming up here. I feel like this, they've said this was coming for a while. So maybe you'll get help for the bullpen by him getting healthy and also Mike Marin being acquired from the Twins, whose ERA this year, I think, is 3.18. Now, in terms of his career, it's over 4. But I always say when you're doing something that's, you know, filling, trying to help right in the here and now, look at what the guy is doing in the here and now. And it would appear, I understand that way more than I would love to know what exactly they think they're seeing in a smiley. And he will replace, let's see, no, he'll start to, supposedly tomorrow. Velasquez stays in the starting rotation. Pivetta gets sent to the bullpen. And Sir Anthony is put on the 60-day injured. So that's how they made that room for those guys. 610-632-0975. Robert is with us in Delaware. Robert, thank you for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, I was just calling because I was actually really looking forward to the Phillies coming up for tomorrow with Drew Smyly on the mound. I mean, I know that we're just kind of taking a risk with them, but it's a low-risk, high-reward, like you were saying earlier in the show. I mean, worst case is they have to find somebody else, which I still think that they're probably going to do, but if it works out, it works out.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, some people will say the fact that he hasn't really played these last two seasons following surgery, maybe he's now healthy again. I don't know. The flip side of that is he hasn't pitched much. And, you know, you take a little bit of risk. That's what you do.
Yeah, exactly. And especially with the last, I mean, this, well, you can't get much worse. I mean, especially with the club, you got a plus AD or A. Can't be worse than what we already have. So
absolutely.
If you have a bad start, you can move on from him.
I think I read the stat. Everyone in the last month whose name is not Nola, their combined ERA is a crazy number. It's over 5.
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely atrocious.
Yeah.
And then the other point that I wanted to make was looking at the Sixers starting 5 now, I heard you earlier talking today about the bench and the bench issues that could arise, especially at point guard. The backup point guard position.
Yeah.
I think that overall in the NBA, I think if you look at the Sixers, they match up well with anybody. I hear a lot of callers kind of maybe complaining about maybe Ben Simmons not taking a shot, but even if he doesn't take the shots, then we have Al Horford in there, and this is could potentially be the number one defense in the NBA. I don't think they're going to give up more than 90 or 100 points in a lot of these games.
They shouldn't. That's true. I would agree that their bread and butter will be defensively. I think the one concern would be if they're spacing, if they don't figure that out, that teams will then be able to kind of clog the paint for Embiid, Horford, and Ben, quite frankly. That's where you have to make sure. But I will say this. Horford should be used as a facilitator more than a guy that you're trying to get him the ball on the low block.
Oh, exactly. And I think with Horford, I mean, at least he'll take the threes, or, you know, maybe even if he only takes like 2 or 3 threes a game. And like one caller was saying earlier, he just usually comes in clutch at the end. So if he could just make that one at the end of the game and it opens up the floor for maybe Simmons inside.
Sure.
I'm not 100% sure how they're going to play the inside because I feel like they got 3 guys that can play inside.
Exactly. That's the thing. That's why I use the word discipline. And the discipline has to come in style of play that you decide best suits this group because it is different. And then the discipline also has to come from the guys. Like Embiid, where are you? Do you do your most damage? You do it because you are so much bigger, more powerful, and talented athletic-wise when you are close to the basket. People can't stop you. So it may be hard work when you're not in shape, but if you're in shape, you can dominate that area of the court.
Exactly. And I just had one quick question for you, and I'll get off the phone.
Absolutely.
Now, if Ben Simmons does not take the step forward with his shot, do you think that hurts what we're talking about with the spacing? Like, if he starts moving the shot, maybe even 10, 15 feet out, and he starts making those, or at least attempting them, do you think that that will help the spacing? Or do you think
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And you phrased it best at the end. It's the willingness to take it. And because otherwise, you know, I allow the defense to just completely drop off and I can let him sit out there, you know, 15 feet and I'm now going to, you know, make sure I can then make it easier to double an Embiid. I can make it harder for Ben to get to the paint because if you're not a threat to me there, why do I have to guard you close?
Exactly. Exactly. I appreciate it. Thank you for taking your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Robert, I appreciate you calling 97.5 The Fanatic. Yeah. You know, I mean, you're playing into the defensive hands. Make a threat. Be a threat. shoot it. And you know what? Until, I don't want to go way back, but and it's a totally different kind of player. Ben is an all-star and elite, but there was a point guard the Sixers once had that nobody guarded him at the foul line. They begged Eric Snow to shoot a jumper, and it rarely worked out. It rarely worked out. But, you know, you got to at least shoot it. And if you are an elite athlete like a Ben Simmons is, there is no reason that shot cannot be developed. 610-632-0975. D-Line, I'm with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Arena Football.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Is your station for Soul Arena Football. And coming up at 7 o'clock, the Soul will be on the road against Albany Empire. And you can listen to that game right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. So we've been talking a little about leading up to training camp, which begins Thursday for the Philadelphia Eagles, and just how when the expectations for a team, or when you think you have a Super Bowl caliber team, the thoughts of training camp, and maybe part of it is too that their interaction with training camp and fans is far less than it used to be. And so the experience for the fan isn't really there. They don't get to see it to the extent they used to. They have a couple of days at the link where you can go to an open practice. So by and large, you're just reading about who's healthy, who stays healthy. I was talking a lot, actually, about the weapons offensively, but some of the defensively, I am looking forward to Zach Brown, the acquisition of him. Vinny Curry being healthy. Obviously, we know Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox. You know, I love those two. It'll just be let's get to see this product in motion. And I think no matter what, really, people wanting to see Carson and the possibilities of him being able to look like he did 2 years ago, you know, before the first 14 weeks of that season, and the high expectations, his MVP caliber season. I think the difference is that there are other guys around the league. Now, you can debate it. Other quarterbacks that people are pretty high on as well. You know, Patrick Mahomes is coming off an awesome year. I don't know if I shared this the other day, but like even people talking, they can't wait to see the Cleveland Browns play. Yeah, you know, I mean, how long has it been since people have said that? So, and you will throw Carson's name in there. I get it. I think for a lot of people, just like they do with, I don't know, would they compare it more to Joel staying healthy or Ben showing he has a shot? I don't know. But there's like a little bit of uneasiness to commit that it's going to be greatness. Do you know what I mean? And there's like these outside factors that enter the brain or the conversation. Let's check in with D in Fort Washington. D, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, D, love the show. Always listen to you.
Ah, thank you. What's your D? Yeah. What's your letter D short for? I'm just curious.
It's Derek.
Derek. Got it. I'm Denise.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's right, because Linda always calls me Denise on the air.
Forgive me for being a little all over the place. But,
no problem.
It's Christmas Eve in July. I can't wait for this football season to start.
I know, right?
And I think a lot of people, remember that old saying, this is not your father's Oldsmobile?
Yes.
This is not your father's basketball team or your football team. This is not checkers. It's not even chess. It's three-dimensional chess. Like, I knew when I wanted Chip Kelly to be the coach of this team.
Wow, you wanted him?
Yeah, I did, in the beginning.
Oh.
Just like a lot of people wanted him to be the coach.
Yeah, no, you're right. I guess from a success standpoint.
From where we were coming from.
Yeah.
Like, you know. And then when he was such a flop, I said to myself, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. It's you know what I mean? So when Doug came in, I said, you know what? I'm going to give him a chance. Because I was so wrong about
Chip.
About Chip.
Yep.
I said, you know, everybody, I just want everybody to give everybody a chance.
Yeah, I remember feeling like that Doug was a safe bet on the heels of Chip not fitting in the city and and it not working out on the field either. I mean, let's face it, if you win, people would put up with any personality. But in Chip's case, it didn't work, and he kind of rubbed people the wrong way.
Yes, he did. And let me ask you, do you have any stories or anecdotes about Lewis Lloyd? He just passed, and just wanted to give a shout out.
Yeah, he passed in early July, right?
Yeah, Philly legend.
So, I know. I honestly, and this sounds terrible, but until he passed, I had never really read about him.
Really?
No. I should tell people. He went to Overbrook High School.
Yes.
And when he died, so he died in early July, he was, I'm going to guess, maybe 61 or 62 years old.
Yep.
But he played his college basketball at Drake. And then he played, I know, for the Houston Rockets. He got a little messed up with some substance abuse and had to play outside of the NBA. He did play. He had good years with the Rockets. And then after his years were done playing, he was 60. Thank you.
Yeah, and he turned himself around and he started.
He did, and he started doing all those clinics, basketball clinics. In Philly and in the Midwest. I don't know what his connection to the Midwest was, other than he had played, obviously, in that Missouri Valley conference in college. So maybe he had connections in that through his college years. I don't know. But he was a young guy, and you're right. He did. He turned his life around.
Yeah, I just think we should give a little shout out to a Philly guy.
Yeah, I appreciate that very much so.
D, any tickets?
Oh, you need tickets to FanFest?
I surely do.
Oh, D, absolutely. Hold on, and Tyler will hook you up. And then come say hi.
I definitely will.
All right.
The squeaky wheel gets the oil, I guess.
All right. Sit tight. Tyler will take care of you. By the way, in addition to FanFest, I want to tell people something else that's back. It's the Philly Burger Brawl. The new date is Sunday, September 15th. The new location is the Philadelphia Navy Yard. That'll be cool. Enjoy unlimited bites of burgers from the top competing restaurants in the city. Proceeds benefit the Philadelphia School District. The event raises money to outfit underserved schools with the latest technology. For more information and to purchase tickets, go to phillyburgerbrawl.com. So I just wanted to remind people of that in addition to FanFest. That is coming up this summer as well. When he brought up Lewis Lloyd, it does remind you how many amazing athletes have come through or, you know, were Philly born, and not just in any one sport. It really is like across the board. And as he mentioned, Lewis Lloyd was a tremendous basketball player from Overbrook High who made it to the NBA. And after his NBA career, he really became involved in helping youth with basketball clinics in the city. So a shout out and rest in peace to Lewis Lloyd. 610-632-0975. We're talking a little about the Sixers, a little about the Eagles, and a little about the Fightins. And one, there is a whole lot of excitement about this Eagles team. I don't really feel like the excitement for the training camp is as great as it has been in years past. And I'm not totally sure why that is. Maybe it's just because it's so hot today. The other is the Phillies with the trade deadline looming. And the two moves that they made, one yesterday in adding Smiley and two today adding bullpen help via a trade with the Twins in Mike Morin. I feel like they're telling you, this is it. We'll give it our best shot. They're 7.5 games back of Atlanta in the NL East. They are one game back of the Nationals, who currently sit for that top spot in the wild card, you know, the two-man race there. But they are tied with the Cardinals, and the Brewers are breathing down their neck. So they get a little bit of help, but I feel like they're trying to send the fans a message. This is probably going to be it, and we're going to just try to ride it out. They're going for their third straight win tonight. And the Sixers, They're kind of like a lot of teams in the NBA. They have championship aspirations. It very well could happen. But as I've pointed out, in terms of Vegas odds, there's about 9 other teams that think they could absolutely be that team also that will follow up like the Toronto Raptors just did this year and come out of a little bit of nowhere, like really good, but we don't think they're going to beat the Warriors. And so now there are 10 teams, Sixers are one of them. And I think a lot of people think it's a easy walk, as our friend James Ennis said, to get to the NBA Finals. Do you feel the same? 610-632-0975. D-Line, I'm with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Saturday night on July 20th. Here in the Delaware Valley, it's been a hot one. It's going to continue to be a hot one through tomorrow. And then I can imagine when you get back to like the mid-80s, it'll actually feel like so cool. I can't even. So I hope you're staying cool, however that is, whether it's hanging out on your couch in air conditioning, driving in the air conditioning of your car, maybe jumping in a pool, all those cool things. I did say, and I shared earlier, like these kind of days was when your parents would let you put the sprinkler on out back in your yard and you'd run through it and then the grass would become, and you would like slip and slide with the sprinkler on it. You know, the ones that went back and forth. Does anybody even still use those? I don't know. But I know that we had one, and then you'd move it around so you could water the whole lawn. And by the end of the day, it was, and, you know, your lawn looked pretty good, I guess. 610-632-0975. The Eagles training camp gets underway this week. Feels like a long time in the making. It will happen Thursday. And so we've just been kind of getting a gauge of what people think about training camp. I don't feel a buzz in the air yet, but it is still a couple of days away. And I think they have a lot of answers, meaning the fans do. They know what has transpired in the off season. They know the health status of most of the roster. They know the acquisitions that Howie went out and got. And I think there's like a strong feeling that this is a really solid Super Bowl contending roster to start. And so we check in with Bob in Pottstown. Bob, thank you for calling 97.5.
Hey, Dee, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Okay, as far as the training camp goes for the Eagles.
Yes.
I have been to training camp when I think it was 1985. Buddy at Westchester.
Oh, yeah. We had another guy called in and said he went to the Westchester one as well.
Yeah, and I think I've missed 11 since then. All three of those were Chip Kelly related. But anyway, I think
let me ask you, Bob, do you go to like the link for the open practices that they now have?
I was 2 years ago, the Super Bowl season, and I have tickets for this one.
Oh, okay.
Okay, for me, it's a chance to reconnect with high school friends who are always Eagles fans.
Right,
so I have people coming in from California and up from South Carolina, and we're Eagles fans.
Wow.
So that's how that works. We've really missed any. And it's not, you know, I understand, like, not putting the pads on anymore like Andy did.
Yep.
Okay, I understand that. But it's, to me, it was always like a family and friend thing to watch training camp.
Right, so it's more about who you're hanging out with and less about learning what your team's going to offer that year.
Yes. I was there when Vince Young showed up, so.
Oh, my.
And I was there when T.O. showed up, so two different things. I think that's my gripe about training camp, and I understand the Eagles' perspective on that. But it was just hanging out with friends and, you know, people coming in from a while ago. As far as the Eagles go,
yes,
I think our whole season is going to be dictated by keeping Carson Wentz safe.
Healthy, yeah, safe is a good way of using that word.
Yes, Do you think our offensive line is up to that?
I do, but I will tell you another part of that, and that is part of it is also Carson. I use the word can't be reckless, and so you know a lot of that is staying in the pocket, getting rid of the ball if you have to, right? Not hanging on to it to then get beat up. So I think it's a combination. I think your offensive line is going to be fine.
Okay. Thank you, D.
No problem, Bob. Thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. I appreciate it. All right. Well, if it's an annual event to go to an open practice with friends, that's cool. But it seems like that experience is more of a day designated to run stuff for the fans to enjoy as best they can of that kind of thing and less about them getting work done. I think I've heard Doug say this in the past, that that's why they're so few, because you do have to get work done during training camp. It's not to the visible eye for us to see how they're doing that. I mean, you see some highlights, but I remember it's very similar to how even the Sixers do practice now. We see such a minuscule of a practice. You know, by the time they open a gym for people to walk in and see the end of it, it's, you know, guys are shooting some jumpers, doing shooting drills like, you know, 10 in the corner, running off of the screen here, maybe one of the personnel or player development guys, you know, bodying up to have a little bit of a contact with the guy. But I mean, it's not seeing how they are progressing or how they plan on using guys, whether it's the Eagles or the Sixers that we're talking about, because both teams, there's new weapons, different that could lead to different styles of play. Now, we know with the Eagles, by and large, I mean, it's Carson connecting with people. That's just true. Now, how he spreads that around between Alshon, Deshaun, Zach, Dallas Goedert, Jordan Howard. I mean, you can keep going. Sproles now. I don't want to leave Sproles out of it. We'll see. I mean, that's kind of exciting if you think about it. Because that's all about having reads. Because they can't tell me that people are going to be able to stop all of that. I don't see how you could. All right, let's check in with Jay in North Philly. Jay, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yes, I'm excited about the Sixers season this year. And I want to know what you have to say about Ben playing a little more under the rim on offense to get offensive rebounds to help out on the team. I think that can make up a big difference for what he's suffering from. How do you feel about that?
Well, I like him playing some on the low block. I think the one thing you have to be careful of is him and Embiid not crowding each other. And I think that's sometimes why you would see in the postseason that we just had, where Ben would be kind of tuck himself in the corner so as to not clog the lane. In that case, it was more for Jimmy Butler, who had the ball in his hands in a fourth, or Joel being, you know, somewhere in that painted area. But you are true that he can do some damage as a 6'10 guy in that low paint area.
I said that because, you know, Embiid likes to spread the floor, and that'll give him more chance to spread the floor and shoot his three if he can make it, you know.
He didn't have a great year shooting the three.
Well, he likes to do it, and if he's your go-to man, I think you should let him do what he likes until he's not the go-to man. I don't know. That's just how I feel about it.
Yeah, CJ, I'm the little opposite of you because, for me, by the way, if you could turn your radio down, it would help me. But for me, I think it needs to be more the opposite. I, you know, as a group or a team, the philosophy is, sure, I'll reward you and let you shoot some threes so long as you know your steady diet needs to be where you do the most damage, and that's on the low block.
Okay. And I just want to say something about the Phillies.
Yes.
Now, I think maybe a couple of closers, maybe a one that's with resilience and another one that's reliable, that'll get the job done.
Meaning you don't like Hector?
whatever it is, it's not working.
Well, he struggled of late, but he was good for a good stretch. And now his last six, he's half of them, he has three blowing saves?
I'm not sure. I just know that the bullpen, because I was listening to a few games, and the bullpen blew a few of those games.
Oh, yeah. They got this guy, Mike Morin. We'll see. I don't know if he's able to go tonight. I would assume that he flew in and will be with them. So there's bullpen help there. And I don't know if you heard me earlier, but Robertson supposedly is going to pitch like a simulated game in Clearwater coming up.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see. Help in those two names supposedly is on the way.
All right. Any fan fest tickets?
Yes, sir. Jay, hold on. Tyler will hook you up.
Okay.
Thank you for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. We'll see. The bullpen, as I said, sure, you can think, but I think McPhail pretty much said he doesn't believe this team is a pitcher away, whether that's a bullpen pitcher or a starter. He doesn't believe that that's the difference of them being able to win it all. And if that is the case, and they think it's, you know, a little ways away, then I would not put your expectations on a whole lot of buying by the Phillies on July 31st, which I guess is a week from Wednesday. Yeah, week from Wednesday. So we'll see. 610-632-0975. Actually, yeah, I am going to watch tomorrow when Smiley's on the hill, because I want to see what this guy, I mean, a name that comes out of nowhere. I guess he passed his physical, because that was all, it was predicated on this. A guy opts out of his minor league contract, and the Phillies want to, because the Phillies have interest in him. Yeah, I'd opt out too if a Major League Baseball team says, hey, we don't mind your 8.47 ERA that you had in your 1-5 with Texas. We don't care. We'll give you a chance. Maybe your arm's now healthy, having not had a whole lot of action for 2 years following Tommy John surgery. 610-632-0975. Brian is with us in Newtown Square. Brian, thank you for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good. How are you?
Can't complain. Want to talk Sixers with you. Specifically, how do you feel about bringing Al Horford on board? I love the guy, honestly. I feel like he was one of the pieces in Boston that did a lot of damage to us.
I always find it funny when people, when somebody does damage to the team you love, that then they like taking him out of that mix and bring him on to your team so that he can't do damage anymore.
Well, I loved him because he was never a head case, you know? I think he's going to fit right in here.
I would agree with you. He is a pro's pro is the best way I could tell you in terms of his personality. I will say that he's a very good passer, so I like that because this team needs somebody like that other than a Ben, because in a half-court set, I think Ben's at his best in the open floor. But now when you get into a half-court set, I need somebody who is another facilitator, and he is that. So I like that about him. He can make a three. I'm not a big proponent of having a guy play other than his position, and he has been a center in this league for 11 years. But, if there is positionless basketball on the perimeter, then I guess it's possible to have, you know, him and Embiid coexist in the front court.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also like it because someone's got to play that five when Embiid isn't going to play. Because
totally.
He's obviously shown that the longevity is a factor that's going to play in, especially in crunch time in the postseason.
And
if he can keep it right under 30, in that 28 to, you know,
well,
30
even,
minutes a game.
Even bigger, Brian, what it says to me is not that you're hoping for it, but Elton Brand is preparing in case he has his main guy has to be out for any stretch of time, that he does not have the fall off, because he sees the potential for his team to be able to get, you know, to the Eastern Conference Finals, if not further.
Oh, yeah.
And they learned their lesson last year that Amir, Boban, Greg Monroe, I mean, you name it, it wasn't good enough, and they had to pay a high price for it.
Yeah, those are the kind of things you want to see out of your GM. And sure. I love that he took a page out of Howie's playbook and signed Ben on before he would have cost even more next year. You know, he got ahead of that. We got our boy signed on long term.
Yeah, that was very similar to the Carson thing, even though in both cases, with Carson, people wanted to see that he could be healthy, but let's face it, and with Ben, people wanted to see, does he have a jumper? But these are elite, cornerstone type talents, and you don't mess around with that.
Yeah, last question, too. Yes. Is there anybody still in free agency you would like to see him bring it on? It would be a pretty minor role they would have on the team, but there's people like Korver, Jamal Crawford, why not, you know?
Korver's done, you know, he just signed with the Bucks. Justin Holiday was a big one for me, one because I trust that family, like those kids know how to do their role. So he's now off the board because Indiana signed him. Jamal is still out there, and Jamal did not sign with Phoenix last year until September. And I don't know if that was his doing or, you know, he just stayed out there and then Phoenix came knocking. So I like the guy. He's not a knockdown shooter like Korver would have been. Even Justin shot, he shoots a pretty good three-ball percentage. Yeah. But he is a proven commodity, and so possibly. I don't like that there's not, I wanted a true shooter coming off that bench, and other than Mike Scott, and Mike Scott is he shoots a decent percentage, actually very good at 41% last year, but.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah, he was.
That's
pretty
good.
It is, but I don't think like knockdown when I think Mike Scott, you know what I mean? But maybe
no,
I should.
Absolutely.
Maybe I should. Do you need FanFest tickets, Brian?
No, I'm good. I'm all set.
All right. Excellent. Then we'll see you down there on August 24th.
We'll see you then. Appreciate it. Thanks
so much, Brian. Thanks for the conversation. And thank you for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. Let's talk about FanFest. It's presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. It is on August 24th, as I just reminded Brian, and it will be at Xfinity Live from 1 to 5. Tickets are free, but like I just offered to Brian, you have to win a ticket to get in. So if you call up and it's a good conversation, we try to reward those here. All of our Fanatic hosts will be on site, as will Sal Powell, Ron Jaworski, Eric Carabel, Tom McGinnis, Mark Zumoff, Bikini Beach, created by Elite Landscaping. A special beach feature this year, hot tubs have been added, courtesy of Spa, Hearth, and Home. Details coming soon on how you can register to win a FanFest soak with some special ladies. Lamborghinis and Ferraris, two mobile escape rooms, Houdini's Challenge and Immunity Quest by one exit mobile escape rooms, a golf simulator with a closest to the pin contest, Ron Jaworski golf putting green. One lucky listener will win a football trip for two to the away game in Miami with Anthony Gargano, including flight, hotel, cruise around Miami, pregame tailgate, and tickets to the game, all courtesy of phillysportstrips.com. We're giving away a Wave Runner, courtesy of DHY Motorsports, a four-person, 30-foot rock wall, a dunk tank, a 95-foot radical run obstacle course, Spider Mountain, a trip for four to the happiest place on earth. Yes, that is Disney. Our FanFest band, the Zings, our FanFest DJ, Mo Green, a baseball speed pitch, bouncy boxing with huge boxing gloves, Wiffle Ball Challenge Dome, High Striker Strongman Challenge, all courtesy of Hollid's True Value. And just added, the Sixers are bringing a half court to play on, the Dunk Squad, the Sixers Dancers, the Sixers Drum Squad, and the Sixers Liberty Bell. So you could like pretend like pregame, you know, you could be the bell ringer. Some of our FanFest partners include Family and Company Jewelers, Club Risqué, Armor Metals and Recycling, and the U.S. Army. And thanks to our FanFest exclusive automotive partner, Turnersville Dodge Chrysler Jeep and Ram, online at turnersvillejeep.com. And DHY Motorsports, make summer funner on a Wave Runner. Shop DHY.com, the area leader for everything power sports. So I have to tell you this, when I was reading about the dunk tank, it reminded me that only once in my career, and it was because it was associated with my job, was I in a dunk tank. And it was at the Phillies ALS night, which, trying to remember, I'm pretty sure it was at Citizens Bank Park. I don't think it was, yeah, it was definitely at Citizens Bank Park. Anyhow, who was the only person who dunked? Well, I shouldn't say it was the only, because maybe I got dunked again a couple times after. But first person to come and want to dunk me, David Montgomery. He whipped that thing so he loved seeing me like drop into that.
He got a good kick out of that?
Yeah, he thought that was really funny. And rest his soul, I love that man. But and I really think it was because one time I had a cover and we were in a rain delay and I had to keep going out and doing reports standing on the tarp, right? And I'm saying I had these new shoes and I kept saying, I wish they would just call this game. It's not going to stop raining. And next thing I know, after I was off the air, it's just me. I was the only person over there. And a kid comes out of the dugout and says, there's a phone call for you, like on the phone where they make the call to the bullpen. And I said, for me? And he's like, yeah. So it's David Montgomery saying, can you please not keep saying you want them to call the game? Like, please. So I said, oh, my. That's my. And I think that when he dunked me, like, I don't know if it was that year or maybe the following year, but I always associated with it was his payback for me saying that we should call this game. Me, the reporter, not a weather person, the reporter, because he thought I was more concerned about my Italian shoes than I was about, let's get this game in. So anyhow, those are my two David Montgomery, but the dunk tank will be also at FanFest this year. 610-632-0975. Are you looking forward to Eagles training camp? Maybe you're most looking forward to, as our one friend called in and said, he goes to the link for one of those practices because he gets to do it with friends, and it now has become a summer tradition. Is that you? And I said, finish the sentence with training camp. I am most looking forward to, or with training camp, I am most concerned about. You can finish either one of those. And if you have a thought on the Phillies coming up at 7 o'clock when the temperature at PNC Park will be 88 degrees, there are minor additions they've made over the last 2 days. Is that good enough for you? Or are you expecting more as the trade deadline is approaching? 610-632-0975. D-Line, I'm with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. The countdown to kickoff is on. Birds training camp starts Thursday, July 25th, and 97.5 The Fanatic is getting you ready for football. Join at the...
So I had a caller a short while ago who was saying, you know, now that you have Al Horford, you can let Joel go out and shoot those three-pointers because that's what he likes to do. And I said, I'm not really a proponent of doing it in that regard. So then I said to myself, I wonder how many of his shots were three-pointers versus at the rim. So last season, he shot 72% at the rim. 471 shots at the rim of his 1199. 302, which was the second most of the different distances that he could shoot. 302 were from three-point range, and he made 91 of them for a 30% average. I don't know what the right amount is there. But I do know when I see 72% at the rim, really amazing. After that, at the rim, 3 to 10, he shoots 40. 10 to 16, he shoots 36. 16 to 3, he shoots 33. And 3-point, he shoots 30. That was interesting. I wouldn't have known that because I feel like when he hits those mid-range, like it seems like money to me. But those statistics would suggest otherwise. But it does support my argument that he should get his body down there on the low block because that is where he is damaging. The other thing I was looking at in that commercial break, I couldn't hear it, but man, it looks like Darren Sproles is so excited to be back here. I did read a quote of his where he said, you know, Philly is that city and that team or that organization, that's family, which is all the right things to say. And you could just see by his body language, he totally was pumped to be able to come back here at 36 years old for one more season. And for me personally, just seeing how hard that guy works, I hope it's a healthy season for him. Because I know each of the last two was kind of disappointing for him, especially the 2 years ago when you couldn't play in the Super Bowl.
And he basically has everything but the Super Bowl. So, exactly. I mean, he has the ring,
I know, but
it doesn't he doesn't have it.
Right, it doesn't feel the same because he could have been such a contributor had it not been for injury. So, but he did. He looked ecstatic to be back here. And then the other thing, I was looking to see, you know, the Phillies, the lineup came out. Fine, nothing new there. But I did like where it's the stats on Harper. It kind of reminded you of his 70 RBI. His OPS is like 852. His home runs. His batting average is up to 260, which is the best it's been since April 24th. That was a positive. I saw all this on in the middle of the commercial break. So there's a lot of positive happening right now here in this fine city on this very hot day in Philadelphia. And so I was just curious of, one, the Eagles training camp, you know, do you get fired up about it like you used to? Or are you just kind of like a lot of people feel, just get me to the start of the season? Now, the only thing I don't like to rush the rest of the summer because it is summer. And I have a vacation I still want to enjoy. And I don't want it to be first week of the NFL season today. And I think a lot of NFL cities feel like training camp, you just want to come out of it healthy. And so that's kind of how I feel. Now, some people want to see how people are used, how they look. You know, last year, I think this year with Carson will be very different because, well, one, through the OTAs, he didn't have the brace, which I think is a great thing. It doesn't look like he even thinks about that anymore. Two, I think just to see how that offense develops. So, like, what are you looking for? What are the reads? Who is your guy in what situations? We'll see. I think that's the one thing. Anyway, it's not unlike really this what the Sixers training camp. You'll want to see offensively, like what develops because you have these new weapons, and that's kind of how I feel the Eagles will be perceived. This upcoming training camp, which again commences on Thursday, and then I guess the first I should double check. Tyler, the first preseason game is the first week of August, I believe, which is really right around the corner. I mean, they don't waste any time with this stuff.
August 8th. That's a Thursday.
Yeah, right. Yep. So, and then, you know, you wait your 4 weeks and then take a break because you do the four preseason, then you're ready, or you hope you are, for week one. The other thing about the Phillies, I was thinking about this. I kind of like a close race for the wild card spots. I think it's, I know a lot of people would prefer that you win your division. No kidding. But at being 7.5 back, now you could do damage if you swept the Braves on the weekend coming up, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Obviously, that takes a dent and you gain three games right then and there. But like when you pick up the paper and again, they won in the ninth yesterday, beating the Nationals. It just seems like they're not going away. But they have an opportunity to pick up their third consecutive win tonight in Pittsburgh. And then they will finish that series up with good old Drew Smyly on the hill tomorrow. And then they have two games against the Tigers before having a day off on Thursday and then playing that three-game set against the Braves. I cannot believe I should have mentioned this way earlier in the show, and that I don't know if anybody else read this in the article about the Phillies recap from last night, and you know how Segura ran that play, you know, ran down to first base sprinting, and it's a, it looks like a tie between him and the pitcher, which goes to him, and then they reviewed it, and they were right. And but afterwards, I thought it was strange. Arias, like, you can't expect a guy to do that every time. And I'm thinking, what? Now, I know he has a bad heel. And he's like, because 9 times out of 10, you know that routine play is going to be made. But I couldn't believe that he said that, because obviously he was referring back to when Segura didn't do it earlier in the season. And I guess he was trying to have his teammates back. But, I mean, that made the difference right then and there. That was needed. And I just thought, well, how do you make that determination that this is going to be the play that's botched? How do you make that determination? I don't know. 610-632-0975. Mike is with us in Cape May. Mike, thanks for calling 975.
Hello, D. How you doing?
I'm good.
Long-time listener. I go back to the AM station, the AM dial, back in the day. Long-time listener. Never called in before, but...
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
It's been a long time. Yeah, yeah. Nice listening to you. I really, really enjoy the show.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Harper, man, I think we're paying him $300 million. I think it's time. He's climbed up, man. It's looking like we're going to hop on his back.
I like
and,
it.
And ride this out. We need to start in pitcher, man. Who's out there? Who can we trade?
Well, I'm going to tell you, that's not going to happen. McPhail pretty much kind of sent the signals to you that he doesn't think he's one starting pitcher away.
I'm telling you, we're fine.
He's not going to give up prospects for him. I don't think. That's just my gut reaction. And listening to him, I guess that was like 10 days ago, maybe a week ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
It'll be nice, man. Let's just say,
to go out and get a Drew Smyly and put him in your starting rotation, to me, tells you what they think. They think
you're
they're,
right.
Yeah, I mean, yep, I don't want to give anything up.
That's my fear. That's what, yep. I mean, we're just one starting pitcher away from, I think, going somewhere in the playoffs. Maybe not winning at all, but, you know, let's go in the playoffs a little bit, you know, make some noise.
Yeah. I mean, I think they are fortunate that Arrieta gave him a good outing last night. We'll see what Eflin does tonight. And then, you know, my eyes will be on Smyly tomorrow just to see what the guy has in his tank.
Right, exactly. You're right. We'll see. Yeah. And the Eagles, we're barring an injury. You know, we're gonna have a great year. I'm really, really excited.
It's always barring injury, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Unfortunately, but you know,
I'll tell you this though, Mike. The depth that they've added, because they have done that, says to me very similar to what Elton Brand's doing with the Sixers.
You have depth at
the things that you think you're most vulnerable of getting an injury for whatever reason. In the case of the Sixers, it's Joel Embiid, but that's why you get depth, so that you can do that.
I agree.
All right.
100%.
Mike, thank you so much for being a first-time caller.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Thanks, Mike, for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. Clayton, you're up next on the other side. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
90, the greatest sports city in the world. You're listening to the home of the Sixers, Flyers, and the best sports talk radio on the planet. This is 97.5 The Fanatic.
Saturday night, wrapping up here with you on 97.5 The Fanatic. I am D-Line. I'll remind you that I am returning tomorrow night from 8 till midnight. So, plenty to talk about. The Phillies will have finished their 3-game set with the Pirates. That middle game about to get started at the top of the hour. Let's check in with Clayton in Center City. Clayton, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, D, how are you? I usually call up regarding the Sixers, but I do have a Phillies point.
Yes.
So when I look at the Phillies, I go all the way back to last season when the bottom fell out. And if you analyze why that happened, it was because they're pitching.
Correct.
So they come back this year with the same guys, and they make that declaration that they're going to spend stupid money, and they go out and they acquire the acquisitions that they acquire, and they create this tremendous buzz. And they vow that they're not finished. So the season starts. They get off to this amazing start. Everybody's excited. And I'm like, listen, it's 180-some-odd games. Pump your brakes. And so they see the team floundering and struggling. And the same exact thing that was their demise last year is unfolding right in front of their eyes this year with the pitching.
Even sooner.
So you have these two pitchers that are out there, you know, again, and I go back to them saying they're going to spend stupid money, and they allow a division rival pick up a pitcher.
Two of
and
them.
Someone in the Central Division pick up a pitcher, and they expect us to accept their mediocrity in the pitching. And it's almost too late, and it's almost a tragedy because they are resolved to the fact that they're going to stand pat and say they're not going to give up any prospects when they haven't really developed the farm system in who knows how long. And if you go back to the opportunity that they had to get Cole Hamels for next to nothing, you know, they could have solidified this rotation, and they pay, you know, Arrieta all this money, you know, a pitcher who is clearly beyond his prime.
True.
And it's almost like they're, you know, piecemealing this together. And they know for a simple fact that in spite of the fact that they lied to us and said that they were going to spend stupid money, that, you know, years ago, not so long ago, they spent money on pitching and they didn't have hitting, and the pitching failed and they lost. And if you know anything about baseball, it always will boil down
to your pitching.
Yep. And the teams that are consistent and compete year in and year out have strong pitching staffs. And the reason why the Phillies aren't going to go anywhere, and the reason why they result to the fact that they're not going to do anything, is because they know that they're not going to spend the money to invest in the pitching that they need to make this team successful. Because the bats are not going to be there every day.
No, I know. Well, let me ask you this. Will they spend the stupid money in the next off season on pitching? That's the question.
Well, I don't think they have a choice.
Because
I don't think they have a choice, because they built this team to win today, not tomorrow.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
I think that the fan base is not going to be patient. If they think that they're going to start next season and roll out the same guys.
Oh, yeah, no, forget about that.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah,
it's just not going to happen.
I hear you.
So they just need to be bold again, give up whatever prospects they have, and salvage this season by getting a wild card. Who knows what happens in the event that they can pick up some quality pitching and at least compete. Right now, it's hard for them to compete, and it's so frustrating.
It is frustrating. It's frustrating to watch.
You know, they can't win a 2-run ball game, and they can't hold a lead when they're up by 6 runs.
Exactly.
And so it's like, it's flabbergasting.
Clayton, I appreciate the thoughts, and well said. Thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. Have a great weekend.
You're welcome.
All right.
Too.
Thanks much. All right, let's hit Thomas in Ocean City. Thomas, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, D, how are you?
I'm good. You're my final caller, Thomas. What's on your mind?
Oh, fantastic. Well, I'm calling from Ocean City. You were asking what everyone was doing to cool down.
Maryland or New Jersey?
Ocean City, New Jersey.
Got you. I had to clarify. So
I'm walking off the beach right now. I was just rinsing my feet off. So
Nice.
My question was about Ben Simmons and Jimmy Butler. My opinion was that Jimmy Butler really had to go. Like, I thought all along, if Ben Simmons was really going to grow into what we need him to, that he had to go. Jimmy Butler had to go.
Right, because of having the ball in his hands in crucial situations, it was time. You're either going to trust Ben or you're not. And obviously, they're going to trust him.
Right, yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I love Jimmy Butler, and I was glad when he was here, and I think he was awesome for us, and I think Philadelphia loved him. But I really think that for Joel and Ben to become the people that they need to become on the court for us, that Jimmy had to go.
Well, I think the city will be fine, provided that Josh Richardson and Al Horford give them in a different look a winning team, and they'll never look back on the Jimmy situation.
Do you think that Elton Brand knew that the whole time?
Not when he traded for him. I think he wanted to see how he would acclimate himself. And then I think over time, certainly in the postseason, and Jimmy was your most consistent guy, he realized that if he stays, he's going to take away, exactly as you pointed out, from Ben's strengths, which is having the ball in his hands. And so now he goes and he knows what he needs to do, and he made something happen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I totally trust Elton Brand, so I think we're heading in the right direction for sure.
I agree, so, Thomas. Thank you so much for calling 97.5, the Fanatic.
I'm a huge fan. Any chance I could get some FanFest tickets?
Yes, you may, Thomas, because you asked so nicely. Hold on. Tyler can take care of him. Tyler, I'm going to say thank you while you're taking care of Thomas. And thank you to all the callers and listeners out there. I do appreciate the company. Coming up next, it is Soul Arena Football going up against Albany Empire. I am D. Lynam, and I will return to talk more with you tomorrow evening from 8 till midnight. You've been listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.